Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would be a great help if you can have a Bible with you as we look at God's word together. Do grab one now if you need to. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we hold in our hands your living word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and change us for your glory. Amen. Sometimes in life you learn important things from surprising places. Before Louise and I got married, I came across some definitions of love from little children. Let me share three of them with you. Chrissy, aged 6, wrote this. "Love is when you go out to eat and you give someone most of your chips without making them give you any of theirs." Danny, aged 7, said, "Love is when Mummy makes a coffee for Daddy and she takes a great big sip before giving it to him, just to check it's okay." My favourite was from Carl, aged 5. "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on aftershave and they go out and smell each other." Well, I'm sure there's lots we can learn about love from children. Over these summer weeks, we're looking at encounters with Jesus in Luke's Gospel. And today, Jesus encounters some little children. And the Lord Jesus tells us that there is much we can learn from kids about a topic even more important than dating and romance. He says we must learn from children about the most important topic of all, about how to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's people living under his rule and blessing. To be in God's kingdom is to be in right relationship with God now, and to be heading to spend eternity with God in his perfect world. And Jesus says if we want to enter God's kingdom, we need to learn from little children. Short passage before us, Luke 18, 15 to 17, is hugely important. It occurs in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. It's also widely misunderstood. People often read it in a sentimental way. They think it's about having childlike innocence. But we'll see that this passage has nothing to do with innocence. And it's not sentimental, it's deeply challenging. Well, let's dive in and see what children teach us about how to enter the kingdom of God. As we go through, we're going to see two truths about God's kingdom, and each one has an application for us. Well, our passage begins in verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. Now, the word babies is literally little ones. It refers to babies, toddlers, and infants. In Judaism, blessing was given with a touch. And Jesus' miracles had shown the power of his touch. These parents wanted Jesus to bless their little ones and perhaps to bring his saving power into their lives. But wherever you have babies, you also have chaos. I can only imagine that the doorways and corridors were blocked with pushchairs and toys. The whiff of dirty nappies was filling the air. And the parts of Jesus' teaching were being drowned out by toddlers' tantrums. And the disciples felt that enough was enough. At the end of verse 15, they rebuked the parents. Perhaps they said, "Look, Jesus is a very important man. He is teaching God's word, and he is healing people of serious medical conditions. It is not appropriate for you to use up his time with your babies." You see, in the ancient world, children were no doubt loved in their families, but they had no status in society. They were not valued or considered important. We used to say children should be seen and not heard. In ancient society, they should not be seen or heard. So I can totally imagine myself rebuking the parents as the disciples did. On a personal level, the babies were annoying them. On a practical level, this did not seem like a right use of Jesus' time. But Jesus totally disagreed. Mark in his gospel tells us that Jesus was indignant with the disciples. Here in Luke's gospel, we're told that Jesus called to the children. Kids, boys, girls, come in. Don't worry about the disciples. I'm in charge here. Come on in. And then he rebuked the disciples. Verse 16, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Well, this gives us our first truth for today. Jesus welcomes all. The application for us, we must not hinder anyone from coming to him. You see, Jesus is not interested in people's social status or how important they are in the eyes of the world. He welcomes all. So we must not hinder anyone from coming to him. You may say, that's obvious. Of course we mustn't hinder people from coming to Jesus. But how easily we do it. It's great that we have separate children's groups on Sundays at St. Mary's. But we must never give the impression that the real church starts when the children leave for their Sunday school. Nor should we have better teaching and resources for adults than for children. They're equally important. When we're talking after church, we must never act as if adult fellowship is a really important thing and children should just keep out of the way. No, all these things would give children the impression that they are less important to God than adults. It could hinder them from coming to Christ. The worship together services we're having at the moment give us the chance to show children that we value them because Jesus values them and that we are one church family together. We must not hinder children from coming to Christ. Nor must we hinder those from different racial and ethnic backgrounds. Now this is a real challenge for us. Maidenhead Town has growing ethnic diversity, but our church is less diverse than the town that we are in. We must consider, are there aspects of how we do things, the way we communicate, the things we talk about, that make it harder for people from different racial backgrounds to come in and to find Christ with us? And what about those from different educational and work backgrounds? We must never give the impression that Jesus values you more if you have been to university or have a professional job. That would hinder people from coming to him. We must show in who we spend time with, in our conversations, our friendships, that these worldly divisions are not important to us. Because they are not important to Christ. You see, we need to be clear in our minds that Jesus welcomes all. And then we need to be thoughtful and careful in making sure that we don't hinder anyone from coming to him. Of course, it's easier just to spend time with people like us, just as it was easier for the disciples to send the children away. But it is to deny the gospel, because Jesus welcomes all. As we rebuild our fellowship after coronavirus, what an opportunity we have to make sure that we welcome all into our church. And not just into our church, but into our friendships and our hearts, no matter their age, their race, their education, their job. Well, what will help us do that? What will change our hearts to welcome all? Well, it's grasping the second truth from this passage. God's kingdom is given as a gift. And again, this has an application for us. We must receive it like a child with empty hands. We'll look at verse 17. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now Jesus is saying that there is some characteristic or quality of little children without which we will never enter God's kingdom. What is that quality that we need? This is where many readers get sentimental. Children, they say, are innocent and pure in heart, so we too must be innocent and pure in heart if we want to enter God's kingdom. But there are two problems with this sentimental interpretation. The first is that we are not innocent, and we cannot make ourselves pure in heart. As Jesus taught, all kinds of evil thoughts come from our hearts. If we have to be innocent to enter God's kingdom, well, we're all lost. The second problem with the sentimental interpretation is that children are not innocent and pure in heart. Certainly, they can be very sweet, but it's called the terrible twos for a reason. Children, too, are stubborn and rebellious. So what does Jesus mean? In what way must we be like children to enter his kingdom? Well, the key is in the word receive. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The only way to enter God's kingdom is to receive it as a gift. And children are experts in receiving a gift. Imagine you take a £10 note and you offer it to an adult. Here's £10. Take it. It's a gift. Well, what will they say? What's it for? What's the catch? I don't need it. No, thank you very much. But imagine you offer the same £10 note to a child. Here's £10. Well, before the words are out, it's gone. Children are specialists at receiving gifts. And that is the only way we can enter God's kingdom, by receiving it like a child with empty hands. Now, this interpretation is confirmed by the parable that comes just before, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In Jesus' story, two men go to the temple to pray. One is a Pharisee. He thanks God that he is better than other men, that he fasts twice a week and gives a tenth of all he gets. He thinks that he has earned a place in God's kingdom by his good deeds. But the other man who goes to the temple to pray is a tax collector. He just beats his breast and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knows that he can never earn his way into God's kingdom. He must receive it as a gift of God's mercy. And Jesus says it was that tax collector, not the Pharisee, who went home right with God. This is the heart of the Christian faith. We cannot deserve a place in God's kingdom. Without exception, we have rebelled against God. We break his word. We reject his love. We do the things that we know he does not want us to do. Now, God is holy and just. He must punish our wrongdoing. No amount of church going or obedience or love can cancel out our sins. But we don't have to cancel out our sins. Jesus Christ himself died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And now he offers us his kingdom as a gift. We just have to receive it with empty hands as we turn to him and put our trust in him. It's free for us because it was paid for by Christ. Now, this message is very humbling for us adults. I knew a man who heard the gospel and who reacted very strongly. He shouted, I don't need charity. I can stand on my own two feet. The thought that we cannot earn a place in God's kingdom, we can only receive it as a gift, was offensive to him. Millions stumble at this point, even committed churchgoers. If we come to God and say, look, Lord, let me in. I live a moral life. Let me in. I love those around me. Let me in. I'm regular at church. Then Jesus says we will never get in. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The only way to enter God's kingdom is to come to him like a child with empty hands. To say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I don't deserve to come in. Please give me a place in your kingdom as a gift. And he will. This is deeply challenging to our pride. Many cannot or will not do it. But it is also wonderful. It means that whatever our failures, whatever our struggles, whatever our sins, we can come to God with empty hands and receive his forgiveness and a place in his kingdom paid for by Jesus on the cross. Now, that's how we enter God's kingdom. It's also how we live in God's kingdom. We enter God's kingdom by receiving his grace. We live in God's kingdom by receiving his grace. I want to give two examples of this. Let's say we're facing troubles at school or at work, or we're facing trouble finding work. We could say, I'll sort this out myself. I'll stand on my own two feet. Now that's the self-sufficient way. Or there's the childlike way. This is to come to God in prayer, Father, I'm struggling. I can't sort this out myself. Please give me the wisdom, the strength, the perseverance to honour you in these troubles. Well, let's say we're struggling with a relationship, with a friend, a child or a spouse. Do we take the self-sufficient way? I'll sort this out myself. Or do we take the childlike way? Father, I can't do this without you. Give me the insight, the love, the clarity to be godly in this situation. The way we live in God's kingdom is the same as the way we entered God's kingdom, receiving his grace with empty hands. So what can kids teach us? Not a lot about rocket science, not a lot about brain surgery, but an awful lot about God's kingdom. They teach us that Jesus welcomes all, so we must not hinder anyone from coming to him. That's a real challenge for us as a church, not just to do what's easy and comfortable, but to make sure that people of all ages, of all races and backgrounds, can come and find Christ with us. And children teach us how to enter God's kingdom. When you see a toddler unwrapping a birthday present, or a girl being given an ice cream in the park, or a boy eating a meal with no thought of paying for it, they are showing you how to enter the kingdom of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot deserve it. You can only receive it like a child with empty hands. Have you come to Jesus to receive his forgiveness and friendship as a sheer gift? That is the only way that you can enter God's kingdom. There is no other. And if you have done that, is that how you live now as a member of God's kingdom? Not the self-sufficient way, but the way of coming to God day after day with empty hands to receive all that we need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please forgive our foolish pride and change our hearts. You welcome all. Show us how to be a church where no one is hindered from coming to Jesus. And Father, the only way we can enter your kingdom is by receiving it as a gift, childlike with empty hands. If we have not done that, help us to come to Jesus to receive his forgiveness and friendship today. And for those of us who have done that, please help us to live in your kingdom day by day, not in self-sufficiency, but in childlike dependence on you. We ask this for his name's sake. Amen.